Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
It is Wellness Wednesday, and this is Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, and we are Elder Care Radio. It is exciting to be here today. We've got a lot of things to talk about, and Andy, we really appreciate you supporting us here and helping out and making this a good show.
How a year and a half now, maybe? Or
I think we're pushing on a year and a half.
Incredible. You guys have gotten so much. You weren't bad at the beginning, but you've gotten better every single week, and now you're like pros.
You are kind and generous.
I don't know if I call us pros.
Yeah.
You could host your own hour now, maybe.
Ooh.
I don't think we could.
Yeah, we're not ready for that. However, we are taking on more responsibilities. We've been invited by the Stephen Ministry of the Catholic Church to do a show this next Tuesday, and we'd like to invite everybody there. So let's talk a little bit about why.
Well, we've talked a little bit about this, you know, the last couple of weeks, but this is the last opportunity because the program is actually next Tuesday. So the night before next week's show, we'll be at the Catholic Church talking with Stephen Ministries, but they've opened it up to the entire congregation. Richard's going to explain what the Stephen Ministries is and why we've been asked to do this.
So the Stephen Ministry started this program within the Catholic Church where they are reaching out to the community and helping address problems that people have. On their own website and their own promotional material, they talk about if you've experienced loss, whether that's loss of a job, loss of a spouse, loss of a pet, if you're dealing with issues of the world and having a hard time, they want to be there to help you out. And I think every organization has that same goal. There are a lot of religious organizations around that have some of these same services and goals. But Stephen's Ministries is really focusing on trying to reach out to the community. So they've asked us to explain to their ministers and their congregation, and they've opened it up, like we said, to the community about what resources are available and how the service that we provide can help enrich lives and make things better for people who are in need.
So as a mankind, we all tend to be very social creatures. And I'm sure that we know people either in our family or neighbors or people we work with that are struggling with their needs, especially seniors. As we age, it's a little more difficult to take care of ourselves, let alone take care of someone we love, either a spouse or a grandma or a mom or whatever the case may be. And so there are a lot of resources available. Quite often, people look around and think, oh, you know, my poor neighbor, Scott, he could really use some help. It seems like there should be a program to help them. And quite often, there really are resources and programs to help. We just don't know how to find them or that they are available. And that's really why we opened this business, was to introduce the senior community to those resources and help you find the help that you're so desperately looking for. So if you are, you know, somebody that knows of someone that needs some help and you just didn't know how to talk to them about it, or you didn't know what services there were to offer them, or, you know, to introduce them to, you should plan on coming to this next Tuesday. You should invite them. If you can't go with them, at least get the website, the flyer off of our website, and give it to your friend, loved ones, and family, because this will be an important resource for all those who are struggling with need.
So who should come to this? Obviously, if you have a responsibility to help other people in your community, whether you are head of a committee or involved in a committee that does that within an organization, or if you just personally have a love for your neighbors and friends and want to do all that you can, then we would encourage you to come out and find out what can be available and how best to broach those subjects, because it can be hard. Also, for anybody who knows somebody who may be struggling and have needs, have them come out, bring them with you. It's a great way to introduce the conversation without having to, you know, do it yourself. You don't have to go in and say, hey, I've seen these problems and I'd like to help, you know, you solve them. You can just let them maybe come to that realization themselves, because if they understand better, that they have resources available and that care can be brought to them that will enhance their life and make things easier for them to deal with other issues. Those are the, this would be a great opportunity because you don't have to be the one who says, hey, there's an issue that we want to solve.
Remember, Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care always offers free clinical assessments by a registered nurse. They'll come into your home, do a head-to-toe assessment, and reach out to your doctor and help you find the best care to advocate for yourself. So we're going to offer that service at this event as well. But if you can't come, or if you in the future you think of somebody that has a need, or if you have a need yourself, remember you can always call Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. We'll send a nurse out to do an assessment, and she can talk to your doctor and help you get the best care that you're looking for.
So that's September 28th at 6:30. Doors will open at 6 in the Cousy Hall at the Catholic Church. It's the big building right behind the chapel. So if you are available, if you know people that are available, if you know, invite anybody that you want. We would love to see you and meet everybody there.
And there'll be some refreshments and some games to enjoy, some prizes. So bring your friends, come out and visit with your old friends and meet some new friends and just come enjoy the evening with us.
So we wanted to take a couple minutes and talk about some things that keep coming up. You know, as we have conversations with people, there are, and I'm just going to refer to this as hospice myths, you know, that people have these preconceived notions that we really want to dispel. And again, this is going to be a conversation about hospice. It's sometimes a hard conversation to have, but the better informed everybody is, the better we address this and get it out into the public, the easier it is for people to have these conversations.
Well, and I'd say the very first to start this off, don't think of hospice as how it's been used here in the past, which is just the very end of life. In fact, it's supposed to be for as long as you can live, offering you the most support and help you improve your quality of life for as long as you're living. If you understand that Medicare actually includes a palliative provision, and that palliative provision is individualized, very dynamic support where you get to make the choices. I know that's a lot different than most of you have experienced in hospice in the past. And that's the whole, that's what makes us different. And that's what we're trying to introduce all of the hospice companies to in Southern Utah, that hospice with palliative care is much, much different.
Right. And I think that's a good point to make, that there's a difference. If we're talking with people or to people that have a belief that hospice is really about the last few days, then that is what hospice is going to be. I mean, if you're dealing with somebody who's been in hospice here in Southern Utah and their belief is, well, we bring in medications to help, you know, ease pain in the last part of life, then that's all that you can expect from hospice. But if you understand that hospice can be more, and we certainly understand that. We understand that hospice, the most effective part of hospice, is way before the very end. If we have 6 months, or if we have a year, that we can provide care and services to accomplish great things, to overcome some personal issues, maybe, you know, some bucket list items, but also to allow people to work out problems they may have that they, you know, wouldn't be able to work out otherwise, integrate family and provide care and show love and do those kind of things. And if we can overcome that and also, you know, the aspect of grieving, that is going to happen. And we have found that grieving while somebody's still alive is so much more effective and so much more meaningful than just wailing after the fact.
It certainly helps the family.
So our goal is to introduce hospice as early as possible to accomplish great things, to let everybody know that there is a time frame that we should be working within, and give people an opportunity to come to grips with that instead of being surprised within the last week.
For me, hospice is still a difficult word to use with loved ones and friends when you're introducing resources and programs and appropriateness for somebody that you're concerned about. So use the word palliative care, and I will tell you that since we have come here and we have palliative care in our name, most of the other companies have added the word palliative to their business name, which is interesting because we're trying to educate them, but they're still using palliative just as the pain management and the symptom management. And it really is so much more expansive and more. So give our office a call to find out what palliative is, but you should introduce you, or you can introduce to your friends the word palliative instead of the word hospice so that you can talk about what palliative measures there are and resources there are available. That's a powerful word to use to help your loved ones and your neighbors.
And the next myth, which is almost related to this, and that is this belief that enrolling in hospice means giving up on living. And we would be absolutely opposed to that. In fact, when we have somebody come on hospice and we take care of the clinical part and the managing of those issues, that releases them from that obligation so that they can focus more of their time on living instead of just worrying about things they can't control. And so we've used the phrase, take control of the things you can control and not worry about the things you can't, because what we can't control isn't going to change. So if we can relieve them of the duty, obligation, and utter, you know, depressive pressure of saying, okay, so I have a condition that I can't cure and is going to ultimately take my wife, my life.
Oh, man.
Yeah. There may be a joke in there somewhere, but that we'll just leave that.
Take my wife, please. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Don't take my life. Take my wife's. Right.
So if that's the part of life that we spend the rest of our life just worrying about, that then that is giving up on living. But if we can put that aside and say, okay, that's taken care of by somebody else, and now I can focus on things that are more important, like loving family and accomplishing things and enjoying the things that matter to me and are going to make great memories, that's a much better part of this than we...
Enrolling in hospice and palliative care is choosing to focus on a quality of life and focused care that is dynamic and individualized. You never give up your free will and choice. You will design your plan of care in cooperation with our palliative team.
All right.
And a good palliative care program extends life, by the way. Statistically, you can look that up on Medicare's website.
Right. Great palliative adds months. Great hospice adds almost a month. And that's an average. So some people get more of it. And the sooner we start, the more benefit we can expect to get. So those are just great statistics to consider. All right. So another myth, to get hospice care, I will have to leave my home and enter an inpatient facility and give up my primary care doctor. Those are three myths all there together.
Right.
So let's cover that. No, we provide care wherever you call home.
Can be a facility.
Yeah. If you are in a facility, or if that's the best option for you and that's what you choose, we will follow your care there and provide it there. But if you want to be home, we want you to be home. We want to see if we can help you do a better job of managing those things so that you can stay home, so that you can accomplish all that you want to do in the comfort of your own home.
Home may be with a family member, and we will help lighten the load for your loved one who is caring for you in their home. Or it's keeping you in your home, or as we said, in a facility, we come in and support you in the facility, bring more resources to the facility, but also more answers to your loved one when you're in the facility. We're able to gather, you know, weekly records and pass those on to your family. So it just makes the symptom system much, much easier for the patient and the caregiver.
Right, because we'll work as a team. You as a family are there, you know, providing care in the facility and visiting and doing those kind of things. And you may not get all the information that is available, whereas we are working on the clinical side. We'll have more information about the care they're receiving when you're not there, and we'll be able to share and we'll be able to work together to modify a care plan that best suits the circumstances. You know, things may change. We may have to change a care plan, but let's look at how things are today and let's see what the best way to pursue the best life for that person is, and then we'll adjust it later.
So hospice is not a place. It is a service. 67% of hospice patients receive hospice services in their own homes, and others receive it in facilities, assisted living facilities, or in the care of watchful eye of other loved ones.
So then the last part of that is you have to give up your primary care physician. And that is a myth. But it, even though it's a myth, it seems to happen a lot because there's a misunderstanding here that if hospice takes over, the physician has to be moved to the side because he can't be compensated and has no control or no input. And that shouldn't be the case. It may end up being the case or has been the case, but for us, we want the primary care physician involved, and they can be compensated for their efforts. And so if we're working with them, we can help. They can help us know your past history better, where your medical care is, and what he sees or he or she sees as things that we can do that will directly help because you have a history with your physician. We have physicians also, and they will be involved in that because from the hospice side, from the management of those specific issues, ours are experts in that area. And so we get these two inputs and we're able to come up with an extremely effective care plan if your physician is involved. Now, if you don't have a physician, that's okay. We have physicians and you know, our experience, we will provide a great care plan for you. So whether you have a physician or not, you're eligible for hospice, we can help you do that. If you want your physician to be involved, we will try and keep them involved because we want them to participate.
And remember, Medicare established this program specifically with the beneficiary being in control. And what that means is you get to choose which hospice company. If you want to go off of hospice, you never lose a benefit day, period, anything. If you transfer companies, you cannot be left with any gap in coverage. It is all about beneficiary's choice, which hospice company you use. In fact, if you're with a doctor or in a hospital, they're supposed to refer theirs and three others just to ensure that the beneficiary is fully informed and always gets to make the choice. This program is all about you. It's probably one of the only programs Medicare really tried to get right. That sounds harsh, but they really did try to make sure that the beneficiaries were in control and they get to, all the choices are in their hands.
Mm-hmm. So the next myth is hospice care expensive?
This is a great one.
This really is. For the patient, there should be no cost. Oh, Andy?
I was going to say, I have the answer.
Okay.
It's free.
It is.
It is free.
To us, anyway.
Free to you, right. Medicare covers it 100%. And that's kind of the difference, and we're not going to take a lot of time going through home health and hospice. We will in another program, but that's kind of the difference between home health and hospice. Once you go from home health to hospice, and this is why you should know as soon as you're eligible, home health is always qualifying. There's co-pays, there's limits on coverage, there's you're required to pay a percentage of, you know, the medical equipment, the pharmaceuticals, you pay for all of your supplies and personal needs. Once you go over to hospice, it's 100% covered by the hospice benefit. So you really should take advantage of it as soon as you can. It's not charity. It's not a welfare program. It's a program you have been paying into, an insurance program that has been offered to you since you started work. And actually, you had no choice.
That's right.
They took the money out and they put it into this program, and you will either use your insurance benefit or lose it. So you may as well use it.
Yeah, and for those of you who understand the different parts of Medicare, hospice is under Part A, which is the hospital part, where if you go to the hospital and you get care if you go to the hospital because you are under Medicare. There is no additional cost for that as far as an insurance policy. Now, the Part B, that's what you have to pay for going forward. You're paying for a health maintenance part of that, if that's how we understand it. But hospice is under the medical the hospital side, and so it is completely covered, just like your hospital is. So those are, we think it's important. As far as the expense goes, we want you to know that even for Medicare, it's less expensive to provide hospice care and more appropriate when people are elderly, because when the elderly go to the hospital because they have a condition that they have to deal with, the cost for the hospital to deal with that is extraordinary because they just run a whole battery of tests, and that can be $10,000 or $20,000 or $50,000 in tests, and then they hold you overnight, and the hospital costs are high. Whereas in hospice, we bring all of that into your home where it's more comfortable for you, and we can provide that care, all
and
the testing.
Where we find things sooner than mm-hmm. where it's a crisis mode, like infections or wounds or little changes in your care that can be modified to help you live a higher quality of life.
Because we're tracking you. Our doctors are looking at your life and the things that are going on every 2 weeks. Not, well, in the last 6 months, maybe you had an appointment with a doctor. So next one.
Next myth.
Yeah, next myth. Go ahead.
Hospice care is just for people with cancer. Nope. False. Again, we're going to spend more time going over this in another program. But anytime you have a life-limiting condition and you're struggling to manage your activities of daily living, which are also recognized as ADLs in the medical community, hospice is likely appropriate once you are of Medicare age. So what is Medicare age? Sometimes you can have a disability and you automatically go into Medicare early.
At any age.
And your hospice, as soon as you have Medicare, you're eligible for the hospice and palliative benefits. So again, find out sooner rather than later. Yes, cancer in the past was the primary reason people used hospice, and now more and more people are using it for pretty much everything. Parkinson's, COPD, congestive heart failure, kidney failure. I mean, just all the life-limiting conditions can fall under the program.
Right. Each of our body systems may have a debilitating disease, and if one of those happens and there's no cure for it, and so it is going to affect it is going to limit your life. That's what makes it life-limiting. Then that is what your hospice eligibility is based on. So we would love to, you know, to explore those with you as we when you call us.
And if you have a question, give our office a call, and we'll talk about your specific need. No obligation. We'll just talk about what resources are available to you or when they will be available to you.
Okay, so next one. Are all hospice providers pretty much the same?
Heavens no.
I will say that everybody provides at least the minimum Medicare standard. That's the only way they can stay in business. There's a minimum Medicare standard of hospice care, and if that's what they provide, then yes, everybody does that.
And we do have to do those minimum standards. In fact, we went above the minimum standard and got fully accredited. So we're licensed and accredited by Medicare, Medicaid, and Accreditation Commission on Healthcare. So yes, we all have to do the minimum, and then we're trying to introduce to all of the other companies that they should be doing more. And
right.
That's what we're trying to help people understand. You're entitled to more.
Yeah, it is all about the more. It's, you know, what else can we do that is better than just the minimum Medicare standard? So we're always looking to accomplish
that.
Okay,
you got to move on.
Yeah, we got one last one. And when it's time for hospice, my doctor will let me know, right?
No.
No.
In fact, many doctors wait for the patient to bring up hospice. It's a hard question or a hard topic to broach. And doctors really are of the mind of healing, healing, healing. So they may not mention to you that right now we're just managing and there's really no healing process that's going forward. They might still continue to make appointments for you every 3 months, 6 months, yearly, monthly. But what are they doing? You need to ask your doctor about that. Are we doing these appointments because we're trying to clear something, you know, cure something? Or are we just managing my care? If you're managing care, you're eligible for the palliative program.
Right. If your plan of care, and this is what you should be talking to your doctor about, what is my plan of care? If the care plan is, well, we're just going to wait and see on a life-limiting condition, then there is no plan other than, you know, keep going the same way. So it's your responsibility as a patient to take the lead on that conversation. It's been good talking to you. Our phone number, 435-477-6999.
See you next Tuesday.